Man. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me. Here's the way they used to sing it. There is a name I love to hear. I love to sing its word. It sounds like music in my ear. The sweetest name on. Anybody love Jesus today? Sing it all. How I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh,
how I love Jesus.
Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh,
how I love Jesus.
Because he first loved me. Because he first loved me.
Because he first loved me.
One more time.
Because he first loved me. Because he first loved me.
Give the Lord a hand clap. We're reading from Matthew chapter 18, verse 21 through 27. Matthew chapter 18, verse 21 through 27. And we've been talking about discovering God's riches in Christ. Discovering the riches of God in Christ. And I ran across this verse and the Holy Spirit began to deal with me regarding how rich we truly are. 21 says in Matthew 18, then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? Jesus said unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Therefore, is the kingdom of heaven like unto a certain king, which would take an account of his servants? Watch closely. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. But forasmuch as he had it not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife, and children, and all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshiped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Everybody say, really?
Really?
You're going to understand in just a second. Verse 27, we close. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him, and forgave him that debt. You may be seated. While you're taking your seat, I want you to look at somebody. Don't touch them, but just look at them. And ask this question, how much do I owe God? Look at somebody else and ask them, how much do I owe God? God bless you. Lord, we thank you. Bless us now to preach what you have prepared our hearts to preach. Give us understanding, give us the unction of the Holy Spirit that the words that are go out of this mouth will not be my words, but the words of God, that it might touch the hearts of these thy people, that we might know and discover truly the blessing that we have in Christ. Change us as we pray, Lord. Change us from creatures that are prone to sin to creatures that love and will worship God. Give us that unction now of thy Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I want to just start by saying that sometimes when we read the Bible, we misread. We will gloss over certain passages because either we don't understand or don't take the time to dig into it and to get out of it what's needed. And this can lead to some problems. This can lead to some consequences. The Bible is not based on what we might call our culture. It's not based on our emotions. The Bible was written by those who were prompted by God, led by God to give a word to his people. Is that all right? It was written to help us understand what it is that God wants us to know and will direct us to do. There is a method of reading the Bible that's called eisegesis, which is reading into the text. In other words, if I go to the Bible and I wanted to say something, I can just piece together a couple of scriptures and, boy, I'm done. I got what I need. Or I can involve and engage in this method called exegesis, which is we get our word exit. We got exit doors. That's where the word comes from. Exegesis means to get out of it what it truly says. I, for one, believe that the Bible in its original meaning, what God originally wanted his word to do, is the most powerful meaning, life-changing meaning. That's what I believe. And I think a lot of times we get into the word and we don't really pull out of it everything that's in that verse. And what I discovered early on is that each one of these verses of scripture is like a deep well. I'm from the country now, so I'm going to take you back to the country. And that deep well, you put down your bucket and you bring up what you need, and that's what you do with the scripture. You bring out of it what you need. You don't read into it. You bring out of it. And for those of you online, you need to be careful what you're listening to, because you might be listening to error and it sounds so good, but it doesn't do anything for your soul. I bring you into the text with that understanding is because I found some things in this scripture this week that blew my mind. And it was there all the time, but I didn't see it until the Lord, the Holy Spirit, talked to me about it. Look at somebody and say, Lord, I need you. I need God to talk to me. And look at your neighbor, tell him, don't distract me now. Don't be hunching me. Don't be whispering. Don't be passing me. Don't text me. I want to hear from God. When you and God sit down, when you and the Holy Spirit will sit down together, the Holy Spirit will teach you what's in his word. If anyone is in Christ, God has given you the Spirit. We have the gift of the Spirit now dwelling in us. Every believer has that gift. So Peter, let's get into the text. Peter came to Jesus and asked him a question. How many times should I forgive somebody? Till seven times? Now, the culture of his day said three times is good enough. You know, the three-strike rule, like in baseball. You know, somebody hits you one time, that's one strike. Two times, all right. Three, you out. With some folks, one strike. Are y'all still in the building? Y'all listening? So Peter asked, he evidently had somebody that got on his last nerve. Evidently. Evidently, someone had caused him to get so upset. He said, man, you know what? I got to ask Jesus this question. How many times do I forgive somebody? And he put up a number, 7 times. That seems to be reasonable. You stepped on my toes 6 times. You got one more time to step on my toe. Peter was not expecting for Jesus to give him a comeback to his question. Jesus said, no, y'all get a calculator out. I got to figure this out. Jesus didn't say 7 times. He said 70 times 7. What is that, 490? Most commentators said he was talking about for one day. That blew my mind. Wait a minute, God. You mean to tell me somebody can walk up to me and slap me in one day 489 times before I get to the limit of forgiveness? I'm pat, my face is bloody now. I'm messed up. I'm jacked up. I'm messed up. And rather than Peter trying to figure out, man, that's a large number. That Jesus, I don't know. He brings him into a parable. He invites him into a divine story. And he says, a certain king had servants. I want you all to know something here. I want you to know something. As we go through this parable, we're going to pick out some ingredients, some things that's going to make some sense to us, then some things that's going to blow your mind. So he says to him, this certain king had servants, and he wanted each one to give an account of everything that they had been given. That sounds reasonable, doesn't it? You know, if I give you something, I want you to first of all know how much I gave you, but then I have the right, if I gave it to you, I have the right to demand it back. Look at somebody and tell them God has the right. Y'all gonna get tired of looking at folk. I looked at this person enough in church. I don't want to look at them no more. If you're online, you can look at whatever you want to. Just pay attention to the sermon. So Jesus says that they brought one servant, which means there were multiple servants, multiple ones, numbers of servants that owed the king, that owed him. And now each one is giving a report, and this one steps up, and he owed him 10,000 talents. Now, in case you all are thinking about singing ability, and in case you're thinking about artistic talent, that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about money. Everybody say money. Now, don't go with the OJs, money, 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 money. No, we're talking about, are y'all listening? We're talking about money. Jesus talked about money. As a matter of fact, he said a lot about money. And yet here it is. We don't know how to handle our money because we haven't been reading this book. If you read the book, you'll learn how to handle what God has given you. Because guess what? If he gave it to you, he's going to hold you accountable. Now, I know I'm supposed to be almost finished with my sermon, but I just got started. So he brings up this one that owes him 10,000 talents. By the way, a talent, I want you to first consider the weight of a talent. There was the Greek talent, then there was the Old Testament talent that they had. In the Hebrews, they used that as a talent. It weighed anywhere from 70 pounds, one talent, 70 pounds to 120 pounds. Are y'all still here? This king gave the man not one talent, not 10, not 100, not 1,000. He gave him 10,000 talents. Look at somebody and say, what in the world? When I looked at the passage, I said, wait a minute. Well, what's going on here? Why would a king, I'm getting ready to preach here. Why would a king give somebody 10,000 talents? Now, remember what I gave you. I'm making y'all do some math today. You take 100 and you multiply that times 10,000. All you got to do is add a zero. I figured that thing out myself. So he gave him 100,000 pounds of money. By the way, it equals 500 tons. You heard the expression, a ton of money? He gave this dude 500 tons of money. Are y'all still with me? I'm going somewhere with this. You're going to get the point in just a minute. What is our question for today? How much do I? Say it again. How much? Say it like you remember it. Okay. This king gave this man 500 tons of money. Now, if you equate it in silver, silver being somewhere around $17 an ounce today, this guy got over $30 billion. What in the world? Oh, but just let me tell you just a little bit before I get into this message too deep. Let me just tell you a little bit. The only way that a king could give that is that he had to have it. And I just want you to know the good news is God's got everything you need. Oh, is that all y'all gonna do? A patty cake? So when I consider the fact that God gave this man 500 tons of money, I said, Lord, Holy Spirit, all I need is one ton. I'm good. By the way, gold is selling at $1,800 per ounce. And the last time I did my mathematical calculation, I found out that it takes 16 ounces to equal 1 pound. So one talent being 100 pounds, y'all still on, don't go to sleep on me. If somebody's sleeping, say, slap them and say, wake up here. Because we're trying to answer a question, how much do we owe God? And the answer that came back in gold, the answer that I had in my notes is that it was into the trillions. And then I discovered that the thing that comes after trillions is quadrillions. I'm trying to answer a question. God didn't give you silver and gold, but he gave you something better. He gave you something called grace. Grace, not goodness, not mine. Grace woke me up this morning. How much did it cost God? Silver? Gold? You better go higher than that. How much does one drop of the blood of Jesus cost us? I feel the Holy Ghost moving in here. How much did it cost for you to be forgiven of your sin? Yet we got a rich king. You got a rich king. Some commentators said no one in their right mind would give such a gift as this. And I wrote a footnote beside the commentator's note, you don't know God. Because God has given us things that are priceless. Oh, you've seen the Visa commercial. You've seen it where they said, now, okay, if you're going to get this, it costs this amount. If you're going to get a car, then you're talking about $30,000, $40,000, $50,000. But when you get one moment with God, priceless, priceless. You can't measure God's grace. You cannot measure his goodness. So this person had received somewhere $280 billion, something like that. And then in gold, it was over 28 quadrillion. And he had the nerve to say to the king, give me time, I'll pay you back. You ever loan somebody $20? Come on, talk to me. And first of all, you got to chase them down because they ain't thinking about paying you back. And then you say, oh, give me time. I'm gonna pay you back. I'm going to pay you back. You ain't got it till the day. I'm just saying. He looked at his master. He looked at the king and said, give me time and I'll pay it back. But then something comes up in the verse, and I want to give you a couple of takeaways in just a minute. I'm almost done with my message for today. But if you notice, you go online, it says part one. We're just preaching part one today, part two coming later. How much do I owe God? And the Bible says, for as much as he had it not to pay, he just didn't have it, which meant all of that 500 tons of money, that joker spent every dime of it, every bit of it, gone. And so the king said, sell him, sell his wife, sell his children, sell everything he's got, and payment be made on this debt. Ladies and gentlemen, whether you want to acknowledge it or not, you and me are deeply indebted to God. Let me go a little bit further. You got a debt that you can't pay. Are y'all listening to me in here? I'm taking my time and preach because I want you to hear what I'm saying. You have a debt that you cannot pay. But please look at the next verse. Huh? Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion. I'm so glad that we got a God of compassion. Reverend Givens, I'm so glad that we got a God of compassion. Reverend Ray, I'm glad today that we got a God of compassion. You know why? He looked beyond my debt and saw my need. Anybody in the building today? Over here, I know God's got it like that. I know he's rich in houses and land. I know that he's got all of these things, but I'm in debt. I'm in debt. What am I going to do? All you got to do is fall down before him and don't do like this person right here. I'm going to pay you. Now, leave that part off. Just leave that part off. You can't pay it. Can you pay for an ounce of mercy? What about the last storm that you were in? And God sent his rescue crew to help you through the storm. Ka-ching, you racked up a bill. What was the last time you got sick? I didn't think you were going to get well. Doctors had done all they could. Amen. Even your medical plan saying, we ain't covering that. Can I shout up in here? But God said his healing. Somebody said the Son of Righteousness rose with healing in his wings. I'm so glad I had a debt that I couldn't pay. But guess what, Jesus? I said I won't gonna go there right yet, but it's time to close. Jesus made a way out of no way. Jesus healed my body. Jesus, somebody said Jesus, he reached out and he touched me. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad? Somebody say yeah. Larry, I got a debt that I can't pay. Jesse, I got a debt that I can't pay. But I'm so glad I got a king who will pay my bill. Can I shout up in here? I got a king that will provide. Anybody got a king? Look at this. 500 tons of money. The debt was wiped out. Now, let me show you this in accounting. See, I majored in accounting in college, and the only way that you can write out a debt is that you got to charge equity. Any accountants in the house? All right. 500 tons of money, you got to charge it off. And you got to charge it to equity. What makes the difference between a rich company and a poor company is the amount of charge offs. You will charge this thing off, but you better be sure you got something on the bottom line to charge it off to. I know y'all ain't gonna shout. That's for accountants. That's for spirit-filled accountants to glorify God over. 500 tons, 28 quadrillion dollars wiped out. But you charge it off. You gotta make what we call a counter entry. He charged it off to the equity. And the equity is the blood of Jesus. That's your equity. His blood paid everything that we ever owed God. I don't know about you, but I thank God for the blood. I'm so glad I got the blood. May not have anything else in my pocket, but I'm glad for the blood. Thank God for the blood. It's his blood. It's his blood. You know what? I'm closing with this. I got to help. I can't even preach. I'm so thankful to God. I can't pay him, but there's one thing I can do. I can praise him. Don't have a dime to give him back. Huh? Can't pay him a dime back. But what I can do is give him the best of my praise. Not ashamed to lift my hands and say thank you. Not ashamed to stand up on my feet and say, thank you. Thank you for everything that you've done for me. Oh, thank you for the blood of Jesus. How much do I owe him? I owe him everything. And since I can't pay him, I will show my gratitude and I will give him my praise. I'm done preaching. I'm done preaching. I'm finished preaching right now. I can't wait to get to part two. Because remember, we got to go back and we got to answer Peter's question. How much do I forgive? Lord, have mercy. I can't wait till next Sunday. Jesus, I'm shouting up in here. Father, we thank you for your blessing. We thank you, Lord, for your truth. This is a mighty word. It's a mighty word. And I pray, God, that you would cause it to sink deep into hearts of people. They need to think about how much you owe God. And since you do not have it to pay, he has the right to sell you. But his compassion and his mercy won't allow it. He'll write it off for your sake. Let someone know that who's deep in sin today. Let someone know who's struggling with an addiction. Let someone know, God, who's maybe on the street, feeling as if they're all alone. Let them know you owe him everything, but all you have to do is come to him. Offer yourself and say, God, forgive me, and he will do it. He will do it. Touch today as only you can. Bless today as only you will. We pray in Jesus' awesome and mighty name and for his sake. Everybody said hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen and amen.